Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
All right, let's get to this. You probably should have actually considered this, considering how the Rockets negotiate with contracts. They just don't hand you the biggest bag they can. There usually is some back and forth, and that's why we have deals we consider good ones with Jabari Smith. And before him, it was Alperen Sengun. And then, you know, Jalen Green got a deal in that same offseason, too. Didn't do the Orlando Magic thing where they give their recent draft picks all the money they can. So maybe just assuming Kevin Durant was going to get all the money just because he's Kevin Durant wasn't correct. Now, this is just one man's opinion, Tim McMahon, but he's a informed basketball writer. Covers, has been covering the league for a long time, has had some insight on the Rockets in the past. This is him on the Hoops Collective. It's a podcast he does with Brian Windhorst. And Tim Bontemps will be on there as well, but all ESPN guys. Here's Tim McMahon on the extension that could come Kevin Durant's way.
The Rockets aren't going to go all in, by all appearances, and by what I've heard, they're not going all in on an extension for Kevin Durant. Now, doesn't mean it won't happen, but, you know, there have been rumblings of, hey, KD doesn't, you know, he's not going to push for the full max. I don't know that the Rockets are going to put anything on the table that's close to the max. I think the Rockets are, like, it's not ideal, but I don't think they would panic if they go into the season with Kevin Durant just on the contract that he's on.
That is Tim McMahon. So, when you trade Jalen Green, you trade the 10th pick that was the Suns' pick, but you acquired it. And you trade to Dylan Brooks, can you be a one-season team with Kevin Durant? It feels improbable for that to happen, where you just play it out, and if it doesn't go the way you want, you're like, you know what? No harm, no foul. Appreciate it, Kevin. We're done. That would seem out of the blue for how these things normally go. But would the Rockets like to see how things work before they commit long-term to an older player who gets hurt quite a bit? Because you would think that you can't just trade two core members of your team plus a lottery pick for a rental. Now, they did get Kevin Durant on the cheap. Kevin Durant suppressed the market himself by telling teams, no, Minnesota was willing apparently to give up Rudy Gobert and other stuff, and he told Minnesota, you best keep that in your back pocket because I don't want to be there.
Warriors.
I'm not signing extension. Yeah, during the season, he told the Warriors no.
It was Heat, Rockets, Spurs.
Yeah, that was it. So that market wasn't a robust one, partly because of Kevin Durant, partly because the league saw an aging player, and if you weren't really in on winning a title, why would you trade for Kevin Durant? Yeah. That was one of the reasons the Heat didn't give
more than they offered, because they saw, well, if we give up, if you're asking us, because we're not going to give up where, if you ask us to give up this hodgepodge of young players and our last couple tradable first, we don't think what remains along with Kevin Durant is good enough, so we're not going to do it.
They'll improve, you know, out of the play-in, but how hot? Like, yeah. They're not going to be – I mean, the East is pretty
weak this
weak,
year.
But you're not going to be better than the Cavs. You're not going to be better
than the Knicks.
Than the Knicks.
And as I said, a lot of that had to do with not just acquiring Kevin Durant. It'll be what was left around him. And you weren't going to be – you wouldn't have assets to improve the team, which is something the Rockets did have, even with the trade. So the market all worked out for them, and they're taking a measured approach. I assumed it was going to just be speculation, but when he added in that's what he's heard as well, that the Rockets aren't all in, I think that would be a bit of a surprise if there isn't an extension worked out before the year began.
Yeah, I think that this is just part of the negotiation, and it's what we've talked about a lot with Rafael Stone, is that they'll negotiate. There's no wink, wink, nod, nod. We'll agree to a deal. We'll agree to the deal you want. It's like, no, actually, we have some thoughts that we want to share. But it's interesting because this is the first time that that they've done this with a guy who has the standing in the league and has the reputation and really the history of just being like, no, I get max contracts. Like, every team I'm on, the second I was able to sign a max contract, I got max contracts if I wanted it. Maybe I gave some money back to the Nets, or, you know, left some money on the table when I signed with the Nets so they can sign my dear friend DeAndre Jordan. But other than that, he is of, especially, like, it's almost a generational thing now too, where the guys under the old CBAs, the previous two or three CBAs, they just like, well, I'm one of the best players in the league. I just get the max. That's what you do. When I'm not even the best players in the league, I'm the best player on the team. I get the max. Now, you know, with the cap restrictions and the second aprons, like, teams are more picky. You know, a guy taking away from the Rockets for a second, a guy like Trae Young is going to have to, like, play for a max extension.
And in years past,
just no debt for the Hawks. What are we going to do if we don't give Trae Young what
and
he
it
wants?
It felt like, even you would say a year ago, although Trae Young has been the subject of maybe we should be trading him, but he has been the one that has stayed when they've done their revamp. Like, they brought in Murray and that didn't work out. He had to go. Yeah, he's a franchise. He's the only reason for anyone to watch Hawks basketball, including the people in Atlanta. You just felt like, he's just going to get his money. And the Hawks have decided, We're not sure. We're doing some things differently now. People kind of like what the Hawks have done this offseason. And banking on Trae Young, a small guard who doesn't want to be off ball that much, is a defensive liability.
Yeah.
Are they willing to be in the Trae Young business at max money for another 5 years?
And so, you know, you're a guy like Kevin Durant. You've been in the league, 15 years? Like, you're used to just like, hey, when it's my turn to get an extension, it's going to be the max. It's going to be what I want. It's going to be as long as I want. It's going to have the opt-outs I want. And two things are going on. A, it's kind of a different league with the financials. And two, he's 37 years old now. So I think ultimately a deal gets done. If I were to guess, I'd guess that Kevin Durant gets more of the deal he wants than whatever the Rockets want. Because I think when push comes to shove, would you trade Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks and a first-round pick to have a guy on your team for 1 year? Then what? You know, you better really hope that Amin Thompson, Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith, Reed Shepard are ready to take the wheel as half-court creators. Like, you better be really sure that they're going to do that, because otherwise you're in more or less the same spot you were in before you traded for Durant this offseason, if he actually walks.
Yeah, and some of a potential Kevin Durant deal may have to do with what you're going to pay Amin Thompson.
Yeah, he's probably getting the max.
If Amin Thompson is the one guy who you're going to give max money to, and there's no guarantee. We'll see what
he does. If I were to guess, he might not get the entire max just because it's Rafael Stone. Any other team, I'd be like, he's getting the max. But with this specific team, I'm not sure. But he is definitely going to get a huge raise. He's going to be making $30 million a year, at least.
Yeah. So it's just an interesting tidbit. We'll see what comes to fruition there. But the Rockets you should probably never just assume with Rafael Stone there that the star player is going to get everything he can. And it'll be a real test. But from what we saw or heard, at least, Kevin Durant was someone who was willing to not be the typical, give me all the money. You're just going to give it to me because I'm Kevin Durant. I don't think he's approaching it that way. We'll see when it actually comes to negotiating time. Does he feel like the Rockets and what their offer is insulting? I just don't know. Because will he be taking $10 million per year less than the max? Is it a small haircut? I just don't know. Is he going full chop or is he getting a little trim? We'll see what happens there. But I don't think it'll be contentious.
Professor Stone's like, look at my head.
I'm bald.
Jerking.
I'll treat you the same way I treat myself when I go to the barber.
Or would an opt out be like a taper fade? Like, okay, but a team option.
Mm. I haven't thought about it a lot, so I don't know what the real comps are.
We don't have to extend those.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it seems like there will be a meeting of the minds and they'll figure it out. But yeah. it won't be Kevin Durant signs a 3-year max extension with the player option for what I don't. It doesn't appear that's
just given the Rockets' track record. I doubt it's a contract that when we get the alert, we're like, whoa. You know, like I just doubt that it's going to be that kind of contract.
Yeah, well, we're starting to think you really want to pay someone that age, that type
much,
of money,
and 2 years
be
from
beholden
now.
To them. So that's interesting, but it is kind of in line with what they normally do. Okay, we'll go to break with that. Let's talk some Astros when we come back, because Luis Garcia had a good night with the Space Cowboys, and of course, we got the Yankees this weekend. We'll get to that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
The last time Luis Garcia threw a pitch for the Astros on the Major League level was May 1st, 2023. He faced one batter, and he was gone for 2+ years. That's how long it's been. While we jokingly talk about, and it's, well, it's serious too because it's real, how long these guys are out, putting a date on it, that's nuts. May 1st, 2023. That's the last time he threw a pitch for the Astros in a game that mattered. He was down in Sugar Land last night, and it was great. Of all the rehab stints for all these guys as they try to make their return, and Javier, and it's going to come back. Now, and we know Arrigetti has come back as well. Garcia, I don't know that there's a firm date, but for all the guys who have gone down there and pitched, he's been the best, at least through one start. 4 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, no walks. He did that on 59 pitches. And we know Spencer Arrigetti didn't get through four innings against the Marlins and threw 86 pitches. So, yes, different levels, all that stuff. But we talk about economical. That's what Javier was. So that's good. That's good to see. What he is when he comes back, I mean, more than likely we're going to get the same type of, well, hopefully not, but I assume it'll be like a 4-inning outing. Maybe he'll get to the 85 pitch mark. Hopefully, if they're just going by pitches, he can be like he was against whoever this spring training team is that they faced. And it's Triple-A team that they faced. And he gets more out of his outing than Arrigetti did, but really good to see that one of the guys they're counting on at least had a good night last night. We'll see how it translates. So
yeah,
that date stuck in my mind, man. May 1st.
Yeah, 2023.
You're kind of out of sight, out of mind. I think he would be the one the least talked about as far as coming back and what he could be. Arrigetti wasn't out as long. He broke a bone, so we all thought he would come back this year.
And like Lance McCullers is like a little bit different.
Yeah, he's pitched more in spring training too.
Yeah, and he's a 2017 Astro, so he has a little extra whatever. And Javier was probably the best of the bunch when he got hurt. Or maybe not when he got hurt, but he was the best of a bunch before he got hurt.
And he signed a contract, so people, even though it's not their money, were concerned. Because, you know, it affects where else the Astros can spend. Javier was the least talked about. But I'm excited to see all those guys come back.
Yeah.
Particularly if he's going to be a guy who, you know, he was a productive pitcher. He was a good one for the Astros.
He's the guy you need. He's the type of pitcher you
yeah.
need.
I've had more confidence in Javier or Garcia being a three coming back than I ever did in Arrigetti. He's had less of a track record.
Yeah. And it's the second half of last season.
Yeah. Like yeah. That. And he had a good month in July, I believe. And then he kind of fell off in September. But the other guys I've seen pitch in the playoffs. I've seen have good performances. So I was always more excited about the possibility of those guys coming back. But because of length of time, there probably were lower expectations for them than there were for Arrigetti.
And Dana Brown said earlier this week that he expects Javier to make his re-debut with the Astros during this next homestand that's coming up. So that'll be against the Red Sox and I forgot what the other team is. I think the Tigers, maybe. I don't know. And that Luis Garcia is a couple weeks behind that. So, you know, rough napkin, back of the napkin math, like probably two or three weeks away from seeing Luis Garcia.
So maybe right before September begins,
yeah,
or maybe
probably
September begins.
End of August, start of September.
Yeah, so we're getting there. The Yordan thing still remains a mystery, but he may be put into the Lance McCullers bag. This year's version of Lance McCullers, where, as John called him, Blister Barista. It's insulting. Yes, it was. I acknowledged it at the time. That was rough.
Disrespectful.
It's a little disrespectful. He may be put in that bag or that tier where, if you come back, you come back. I mean, there's no expectations for Yordan. Yordan is swinging the bat. He's done that this week, which is, you know, the lowest bar for a major league hitter. He is now swinging a bat. I didn't see if he can continuously do that without pain, which would be very important in his comeback. You know,
that's happened twice now.
Yes. You know, at some point he'll have to spend time in Sugar Land with a rehab assignment. So it feels like if we get Yordan back before the season's over, cool.
Yeah, that's another probably September.
Yeah, Paredes right along those same lines.
I think Paredes is like less likely. It's more he's giving it a go, you know?
Yeah,
like
we talked about it earlier this week. Yeah, that's kind of where that stands.
It's like, you know, you see it in football. Last year with Aiden Hutchinson with the Lions, where the talk basically towards the end of the season was, after he broke his leg, towards the end of the season, it was, you know, if they make the Super Bowl, he has a chance to come back. Like, it's very, like, way down the road, there's a chance. So, yeah, I expect Paredes will be, like, right at the end of the season, just in time for the postseason, if possible at all. But I think it's more likely that they give it a shot and it just doesn't respond as quickly as they need it to.
Yeah. So that's your injury update. Encouraging stuff from Garcia, Yordan swinging, and no firm data, Sean kind of mentioned on Garcia, but he'll, what, maybe get...
On the horizon.
Another two starts, maybe?
Yeah, probably two.
And then we'll see where he's at. As far as the current team, the one we're going to... Well, some of you will watch on Apple TV. You may be able to...
I'll try.
You may be able to watch it another way if you so choose. There are ways, but they got the Yankees tonight. The last time they started a series on Apple TV was last Friday.
Yeah, didn't go well.
And Hunter Brown was great. The bats weren't, and they lose an extra innings. Let's try to avoid anything similar to Friday, because it jumped off a sweep at the hands of the Red Sox. And as I said earlier, you can't really afford a sweep. You can't really afford a sweep. You really probably can't afford to lose the series. You got games to play.
Yeah.
But as far as
you'll probably be behind the Mariners.
Yes, you just don't. You know, I have this thought when I watch, depending on the game or the sporting event, if this team ever falls behind, they're never coming back. I don't really feel that way about the Astros. Yeah. Like, if they fell behind in the division, it wouldn't, because I don't know that baseball works that way. It's not because every game is different. It's not a momentum-based thing, like, inside of a single game. But I would prefer, I would really prefer never to have to trail the Mariners this year.
Yeah, I would like to get it back up to four games.
And it's mostly a selfish thing. It's less about the length of the lead. I just don't want to have Mariners on my For You page. I don't want Mariner fans on my For You page barking. Because, you know, I'll type Astro stuff in, and because of that, you'll see Astro accounts. If I do type Astro stuff in now and the Mariners overtake them, I'm going to see Mariner stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see it. So I would prefer, for my own social media, well-being, mental health. Let's keep the lead, because the minute Mariner fans start chirping, it gets a little abrasive, considering they've done nothing, but they will take the opportunity to talk about what a run they're on, and this is the year,
yeah,
and Julio this, and
Cal Raleigh
that, blah, blah, blah. Josh Naylor, I got it, everybody. Enough. Let's go. Let's get 2 out of 3 for my own well-being.
Yeah, and it's a scuffling Yankees team. A, it's the Yankees, so that you always want to win the series. Two, they have been playing like absolute losers lately. Yes,
that's true. Let's not have them turn it around against
you.
Nothing the Bronx would love more than to have a good series against the Astros, yeah, and the booing will happen. We all know. It's been years, so we all know how it'll go. Yeah. They have not learned their lesson. We hope. I need
the Altuve Friday night home run, first at bat, just like Brian Flores sending a blitz in the preseason game, just to let him
just
know.
Just to announce himself?
Just to let him know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm still that guy, all right?
Altuve, first at bat. Do what you do.
Yeah.
That's all. Announce yourself that we're still the Astros and you're still the Yankees, and this decade-long run of us owning you remains the same.
Yeah, let's get some ducks on the pond before he does that too.
Yeah, I don't need it to be a. I don't know. I don't want it to be a solo shot.
Three runs now, I feel good though.
Yeah,
might win this thing.
Exactly. All right, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast, he'll tell you what's on TV, what's in movie theaters, what you should watch, what you shouldn't watch. I know on Fridays, plenty of you wait to call in. The phone lines are open if you want to call Michael Carroll, 713-780-3776. Host of Comicast when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us. He joins us every week to tell you what's going on, what you should or shouldn't watch. He is the host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. You can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5, 8 to 9. Michael, we'll get to the things people should or shouldn't watch.
Yes.
But what about Comicast? What's going on the latest issue?
The latest issue, we covered a bit about... We ended up covering it a lot more than I thought we would, but the kind of online discourse about Fantastic Four second weekend drop in percentage, mm-hmm, and the factors that go into it. Jong has it's not quite a rant, but it is on the verge of a good Jong rant. So that's on issue 606, as well as all the Spider-Man brand new day news that we got late last week. We kind of covered that and where we were going with where we think the film is going, as well as I gave my thoughts on non-spoiler thoughts on Eyes of Wakanda, which is I didn't get to talk about it, I think, on last Friday, but it's a very good show, animated show, of course, set in the MCU and going through the history of war dogs that are from Wakanda's lore. So that's very good. And then today there's a bonus issue with us and Shalice Williams, a real movie junkie, talking about her experience at San Diego Comic-Con, covering it for The Hollywood Reporter and interviewing the cast of Predator Badlands, Eric's favorite movie, Toxic Avenger, as well as the panels for The Long Walk, the new film coming out very soon. I think it's this month or next month.
Yeah, the Stephen King adaptation.
With Mark Hamill. And then Project Hail Mary, which is coming out next year, so...
Yeah, I've tried to avoid as much Spider-Man footage as I can because that's filming and people have been able to get their eyes on that. So I tried to avoid, and there's a debate now about practical swinging versus CGI stuff. So it's enough for me already. That movie's got plenty of time before it comes out, so I've been trying to stay away. You mentioned Eric and his favorite movie. Eric has called in. Let's get to Eric here. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Yeah, Michael, I'm curious about the YouTuber Chris Stuckman, who does movie reviews. He's coming out with his own movie, a horror movie called Shelby Oaks. Have you heard any? What are your thoughts on that? And I'm going to go see Weapons this weekend. What are your thoughts? I know it's been getting good reviews, but I want your take on it. And Toxic Avenger comes out August 30th, I believe. August 28th. I'm going to listen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the update, the weekly update on Toxic Avenger. Shelby Oaks, I had not heard of. If we just go by the reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes, over 80%. I don't know who the YouTuber is or what the movie's about. I know Keith David's in it, so that gives it a little gravitas, Keith Davis. But other than that, there are some names I know or faces I recognize, but I don't know anything about this movie.
I've heard of it, but I honestly haven't done too much digging on it. It's coming out October 3rd of this year, so I'll probably dig more as we get closer to the release on it. But I've vaguely heard about it just in terms of just different folks talking about it online. Weapons, which, I mean, I'm going to get to in the what to watch when we actually, I mean, kind of can get into it. That's going to be the pick of the weekend for anyone. 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, 90% with audiences, and 96% with critics. That one's getting rave reviews from across the board. Everyone that I follow that, you know, I trust their reviews, they've spoken very highly of it. Of course, starring Julia Gardner, Josh Brolin, Benedict Wong, and a few others. We talked a bit about it last week, but that one looks like top tier horror movie. Zach Krieger is kind of the director for it. It's kind of like boosting his profile up with his second film out the gate, being seemingly a strong one with Weapons.
Yeah, I told Lance that it was Weapons Day today. He didn't know what I was talking about, so I clarified, and he bought a ticket for himself today. He's going to go watch that. I will see it today as well. Sean has mentioned he will see it this weekend as well. But let's get to something Sean saw that you wanted me to see, but I refused to. There was no Astros last night, so there was space on our calendar to, you know, throw something on that we wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Whether it be for you want to be entertained or because you wanted to see how bad something was. Sean chose the latter.
Yeah.
He went home.
You went for it?
Yeah, let me adjust my glasses like Ice Cube does 17 times in this movie.
If that wasn't clue enough, Sean saw the latest rendition, adaptation of War of the World.
I think it's the only one I've seen. I haven't seen the Cruise movie. Yeah.
You haven't seen that
one? You haven't seen that one?
No.
Oh, wow.
Because I think it came out when I was like still a little too young for
an actual scary
alien invasion movie.
So yeah. You saw the Ice Cube version of
this War. This is the only one. Haven't War heard the Orson Welles radio one mm-hmm. that got people freaked out.
I like that's your entry to War of the Worlds. It's this Ice Cube.
Readjusting his glasses.
So considered one of the worst movies.
Talk to Eva Longoria.
Considered to be one of the worst movies ever made.
That's
I'm just saying, people.
It's bad.
I've seen a lot of people say that one of the worst movies ever made. You sat
it's
down and watched
bad.
It. It fit your timeline or your preference, of a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, thank God. If this had an extra 30 minutes, I don't know if I would have finished it.
You got mad at me for suggesting it last week.
Yeah.
You watched it.
I did watch it. No, but you said I'd like it.
Well, did you like?
No, that's terrible.
Well, like in a, it's so bad.
Perverse way?
Yeah, in a perverse kind of way that you do sometimes.
It didn't actually get. It had moments of perverse enjoyment, like when I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it, but I guess we've talked about this before on the show. The Amazon delivery,
insane.
Integrated insane. Marketing, three different times where they're like. Like, it's not my job to look at what's in Amazon, people's Amazon carts.
It's a line.
Like they use that specific phrase, a phrase no one's ever used before. They use it three different times in this movie.
They use it a lot in that movie.
There's a twist that is, like, groan-worthy.
so stupid.
There's actually, like, three twists that are groan-worthy.
Actually,
every twist in this movie is groan-worthy.
Somebody counted it out. There was, like... three fake out deaths for like two characters each.
Yes.
It was like three. It was just absurd.
This isn't a spoiler. The second that I know this is a War of the Worlds movie and Ice Cube has a pregnant daughter, she is not dying. she is not dying in this movie. I
know
that they established that 15 minutes into this movie.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, that is part of
like,
it.
And
yeah.
If you watch a movie, it's like, they're not going to kill the pregnant daughter.
Which, she is a scientist, a very cutting edge scientist.
Yes, like with like some weird gene manipulation thing.
Yeah, and I don't understand that
she's
at all.
She kind of seems like an evil scientist.
She's a scientist. Her I guess fiance.
Baby daddy.
Baby daddy is an Amazon delivery driver. There you go.
So
I don't want to put restrictions on love.
But that's where the product placement starts.
So they're in a relationship. It isn't just a one-time thing. And she
they're organizing a baby shower together.
Oh. Yes, yes.
They're co-parenting.
So you know, sometimes you'll see in a movie where there's this extremely attractive woman and she's got a job as an astrophysicist.
Well,
how did this happen?
You mentioned that.
Yeah,
Eva Longoria plays someone super high up in NASA.
So.
It's unrealistic. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to do this. It's unrealistic that a person that looks like Eva Longoria, is the director of NASA.
Let's see.
That's just not realistic.
I don't know if that official title exists anymore, but I'm going to Google director of NASA and see who currently may hold that title. Because I believe you're right. I just want to make sure.
It happens in movies a lot.
It does. Nicole Kidman was like some type of...
Oh, she was a neurosciencist. A 25-year-old neuroscientist.
In Days of Thunder.
Like, she was so young and working on brains.
Yes.
See, like, the Eva Longoria's, whatever her title was, that didn't bother me. I just was very confused as to why she kept calling him.
Oh, I mean, that is the, like, that's where the movie falls apart, is that there's no reason for Ice Cube's character to be the main character in this movie.
No, 0% reason.
So he is good at his job, in this movie. He's good at what he does. The ethics, I have a lot of questions. The ethics of what he does.
Now, what do you mean good at his job? The character he's playing is good at his job?
Yes.
Or not Ice Cube being good at his
job?
No. Okay.
I mean, it's tough because he's obviously in a room by himself having to act to things that aren't happening.
And Brian and I were talking about this yesterday. He obviously had no idea what they weren't doing a good job at all of telling him how to react or anything. He was not getting directed whatsoever because he's supposed to react to people getting killed by all these aliens. And he's just, he just adjusts his glasses.
Yeah.
And,
or there's a time where he gets up.
Yeah.
But then he just sits back down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of I don't know how to process this or I don't know how to react.
It's Facebook. There's a lot of Facebook stuff in this as well.
That's part of my issues with his ethics.
The profile banner, I forget if it's his or somebody else's. It's a picture of him with I think the kids, but he's wearing the same clothes that he's wearing in the movie with his badge and everything.
It's like they put in they took a screenshot of the movie and had AI do pencil drawing of what that picture is.
And it pencil drawed his lanyard that from work. It just did everything.
But there's multiple times where he is on a Zoom with the president.
Yeah.
And then the first thing he does after being on a Zoom with the president is call his kids, his 20-year-old son.
Well, also, he's using the Department of Homeland Security systems.
Oh, yeah. This is crazy.
To hack into surveillance cameras to track his kids, one of the cameras being in the refrigerator of his daughter's house.
So how does that track? Oh, I guess she opens the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's also tracking what she's eating.
Yes.
Why is he tracking what his daughter?
Because she's pregnant.
And
he's worried about her intake for the baby.
So he's okay.
Yeah.
No, he's kind of bad guy. So, he is kind of a bad guy. He's not a person I felt I should root for.
Okay, let me ask you this. You mentioned you would never, they weren't ever going to kill the pregnant daughter. A lot of people died in this movie. Because,
yes, it's the war of the world.
An alien invasion. Of course, weapons are going to be used. Did you feel bad for anyone who died?
No, absolutely not.
So they didn't
because no one who died was given a name.
Okay.
Or happened really on screen.
Well, there's a group. Later on in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I guess they were technically given names.
They were, in a sense.
They did a roll call 30 seconds before
they
died.
Which is some of the dumbest names for online users whatsoever I've ever seen.
Yes. Also, they're all shrouded, but Ice Cube isn't shrouded.
Yeah.
And other people aren't shrouded.
And they're supposed to be friends or whatever with possibly the son or something
like that.
They're
supposed to be anonymous.
Yeah, they're supposed to be anonymous.
The hacker group anonymous. That's what they're supposed to do.
But they're things happen to them, and there is zero reaction to anything that they do.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
there is a reaction.
Well,
there's a surrender cobra from Ice Cube.
Yeah, there is that reaction.
So
that has now been memed.
I will ask you two who have both watched it to to wrap up War of the Worlds, the Ice Cube version. You know, sometimes you tell someone you know to watch a bad movie because they need to be in on this. Sean, you are a lover of, let's say, below-average movies. You like a below-average movie.
I have a wider palette, I would say.
Yeah, I could.
Does this movie fall into a category where you would just recommend it to your friends just so they get a taste, or you wouldn't even do that to them?
The thing is, it doesn't hit. Not enough like actually happens in this movie. It all happens on a computer screen.
So it's not even in Sharknado territory.
No, because at least sharks like eat people. Yeah. Sharknado. This is the least action-y alien invasion movie that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, because it's just Ice Cube in this room primarily. Like that's
and some zooms with his family, Eva Longoria, and the president of the United States of America.
Yeah,
who's not given a name.
And then just Amazon Prime ads throughout. So it's. Somebody else asked me something similar to that, and I said, yeah, no, unless you...
No, I'd be like, watch Plane instead.
What? Yeah, it's not even
your
in the realm
Gerard
of...
Your Butler.
My guy,
like
Butler.
That one.
That's Greenland.
Again, that one's at least an enjoyable...
Yeah, he shoots people.
There's like, stuff happening.
Okay.
Yeah. This one, there's he's just on the computer the whole time, and it doesn't really amount to much of anything. It's terrible. It's the worst movie I've seen this year.
And you've seen quite a bit. So we've got a full review. Don't watch War of the Worlds 2015. Maybe do the Tom Cruise one. Maybe experience the Orson Welles version.
Is that on YouTube or something? Can I watch listen to the Orson Welles?
It might be.
Probably somehow. I don't know.
So that would fall strongly in the category of don't watch for Michael Carroll. When we come back, we'll find out maybe Beyond Weapons, if there's something you should watch. We've got streaming things to get to. We've got movies to get to. Michael Carroll will get you the best recommendation.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, Michael, who is host of Comicast? He does that with John Lee. We went through why you shouldn't watch War of the Worlds unless you just want to watch an awful movie.
The rare anti-recommendation from me.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know it's bad when Sean is saying no go.
It's very rare we're in unison on the song.
So
like
maybe we do a palate cleanser. Beyond Weapons, is there anything else that people should maybe watch, whether it be at home or at the movies?
Theater-wise, the other big release is the Freakier Friday, the sequel to Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. It's getting solid reviews, 73% with critics, 94% with fans. If you want to go experience that sequel from, I don't know, I forget how long it's been since the original came out, but if you want to check out that one's the other big release for this weekend in terms of theaters. When it comes to streaming, there's quite a lot, actually. Of course, King of the Hill returned for season 14 this week, premiered all 10 episodes on Monday on Hulu. Rave reviews, 100% with critics and 91% with audiences. Of course, this is set 10, 15 years after the last season, so it's a time jump for all the characters involved. And again, getting rave reviews for King of the Hill's return. Wednesday, season 2 came out this past Wednesday. The first 4 episodes are available now for season 2. 82% with critics, 85%. Of course, this is Wednesday Addams with starring Jenna Ortega. Mm-hmm. The first season, rave reviews.
Yeah.
People enjoyed it. Good continuation seemingly so far. More with the family involved this time around.
Yeah, I watched an episode and a half yesterday. I was unaware that it had come out, of course, mm-hmm. came out on Wednesday, considering the name. But I watched a couple episodes yesterday, at least an episode and a half, and it's fun. Jenna Ortega's very fun in that role. It has the same type of jokes where anything she likes, she enjoys bad things happening to people and stuff like that. Doesn't like the fun things that normal people love. So if you saw the first season or just know the Addams Family in general, it kind of falls in line with that. You know, Pugsley is there, and he's more involved. And it's funny because with all child actors, Pugsley's taller and less of a Pugsley now. He doesn't look like the guy, the kid he was last year last season, because that's what happens when kids age. They get, particularly kids in Hollywood, generally they get taller and maybe less baby fat. So, and that's what Pugsley is this year. So it's funny to watch him. And it's only supposed to be a summer between the two seasons.
Wow.
Stranger Things, season 5, yeah, right, coming later this year.
Yeah, so I did see someone go, 8 episodes and it took you 3 years. That's diabolical.
It's pretty. I get Jenna Ortega in demand.
Yeah.
Yes.
But come on, guys. Come on.
I don't know if it's a combination of writer strike as well, and like there's some other stuff in there, but yeah, it's
and
insane.
They probably weren't sure. Like, they actually weren't developing like a season 2 at all until the reception of season 1. Like, I understand some of that.
Yeah, some of it. Yeah.
On the other hand,
and Jenna Ortega's been in a ton of stuff.
It's also the freaking Addams Family. Yeah. Like, you should know that this is probably going to be a hit.
It's IP that's probably going to work, and you got one of. I don't know how big of a star she was at the
time.
She
wasn't, though.
But she was,
no. Yeah. This is what, like, kind of jumped her.
Yeah. This is the breakout role for her. True. So
Wednesday.
And then she made Hurry Up Tomorrow, featuring The Weeknd. By the way, don't watch.
Don't watch that one. Yeah.
There was no chance. I stay away from anything that has The Weeknd acting.
No, so far, yeah. Anything with him, yeah, stay away. The next 4 episodes premiere in early September for Wednesday season 2. Another season 2, Platonic, with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne.
They're both Apple staples. They both are in 2 different series on Apple.
Yeah,
she did the fitness. It was about a housewife who got into like it was set in the '80s. So it was the fitness. I forgot exactly what it was about. But if you remember the Jane Fonda stuff from that time period, it was kind of in that lane.
And
I think it was called Physical.
And them two work together like all the time.
Yeah, they were in the neighbors movies. Yeah,
all that. Because they have really good chemistry with each other, and that's the showcase for this second season. Again, getting rave reviews right now, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with critics, no audience score as of yet. But it's more of their relationship as it's like the first season was about them getting back to being friends, and now this is trying to maintain their friendship through one of them getting married and other stuff happening. But they're also like just off the wall, like nuts on stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, hijinks ensue. I want to make sure I get this right. FX's Necaxa, which is, if you're a fan of FX's Welcome to Wrexham with Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds and all that, this is kind of a continuation in that because they are involved, but it is more so set with Eva Longoria, who is now part owner of this club, Necaxa. And she is enlisting the help of fellow owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds. The first 2 episodes are out right now. Again, FX on Hulu.
Please, his name is Rob Mack, by the way.
Oh, sorry. They Rob Mack.
His name to Rob Mack.
Rob Mack. A film you probably want to skip is a new one on Prime Video. What a shock, 2 weeks in a row. Have you heard of The Pickup?
I have. And
Eddie Murphy.
And it strikes me as funny.
Pete Davidson.
Not the movie itself, the fact that my mother recently texted me about that.
What'd she say?
Let's just say you and her have different taste. Because she liked it, and I took that under advisement, but I knew it was an Eddie Murphy movie, and that meant I had a lack of interest in it. Pete Davidson adds to that as well. I don't particularly care for him in movies.
Yeah.
So you are saying no.
If you let Eddie Murphy be like, let him do his thing more in this movie, it probably works a little bit better. But he plays more of the straight and narrow type character, whereas Pete Davidson's character is more just off the wall, just being dumb and stupid and all this and that. Like, they don't have much chemistry. And when Eddie Murphy starts doing his thing, then it kind of picks up. And then you mix in Kiki Palmer and Eva Longoria. A lot of Eva Longoria this week. You mix those two in, and it has some decent moments, but it's honestly a forgettable action comedy. The plot makes zero sense whatsoever.
Okay.
33% with critics, 44% with audiences. So it's just kind of a – maybe skip that one.
Dell's mom, one of the 44%.
One of the 44%.
If she knew what Rotten Tomatoes was, sure.
Yeah. And then just a couple of movies that released earlier this year that are now just available to stream. Freaky Tales, the movie with Pedro Pascal, Jay Ellis, Ben Mendelsohn. It's that one's an anthology of four different stories that have a basically a collision course set in 1987, Oakland, California. And then The Monkey, the horror movie that came out earlier this year that had gotten pretty good reviews, is now on Hulu. And Freaky Tales, I forget if I mentioned, it's on HBO Max now.
And, the Monkey is like the monkey. That monkey had like a drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the little classic toy.
Yeah, it's not an actual
drum.
It's not, cymbals, right? Or yeah, drum.
Yeah, it's not
not the cymbals.
It's not.
Didn't they like not have the rights to that toy or something?
I think so.
Because like Toy Story had it. Or something
like that.
Yeah, it's not the Planet of the Apes type monkeys.
No,
something that just
or little, Monkey Man.
Yeah. That the latest movie in the Planet of the Apes series is now on Amazon as well. Yeah. So if you want to see something that actually did pretty well in theaters, you missed it, you can watch that
or watch Monkey Man. Yeah, that's just a good movie.
A lot of monkey content for you.
Yeah, so much.
Godzilla X Kong.
There
you
go.
If you want to watch a movie, like, we got you covered. There's something for
you. If you want to watch a movie featuring monkeys where they don't do things real monkeys do, across the board, we got something.
Oh, yeah, we got something for you.
And things that they Chimp's crazy. Well, you know, that's on HBO Max. You can watch that. That's what chimps actually do.
Yeah. That's if you want the real version.
Not all of it. Most of it not good.
No, don't have
not for humans at least.
Yeah. No.
All the movies we've kind of just talked about in that 1 minute span. Well, Kong, you don't want to be really around him if you're not like that little girl.
Unless you're the little girl.
Yeah. Obviously, we saw what happened when it wasn't Caesar controlling all the apes, then we got the monkey with the drum in a horror movie. Stay away from monkeys is what we're saying. Unless you make them a pet,
watch them safely and even on still, your living room screen.
Kind of stay away. Away from that.
I was going to say the Rampage gorilla is kind of a...
Only The Rock. Only in The Rock
were
friends.
I was at the gym the other day. So that just chuckled.
Yeah, generally when we stylize monkeys in television and TV, they're doing awful things. Yeah,
we don't see the best of monkeys.
No, it's... Yeah.
Bias.
Congo?
Nope.
No.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great for the humans, at least.
No.
All right, we're done for the day. And in fact, the week. Well, me and Michael.
Yeah.
As far as being on the air. Sean still has 3 hours to go with Paul Gallant. They're going to be at BB Orleans, right, and Katie?
Yep.
So if you want to head on out there and sign up for a chance to win a bike from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, that's your opportunity. Sign in. We're doing our summer circuit. And if you win, you get 2 e-bikes worth about $4,000. So since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean? I caught him unawares.
Flip me over, Mike.
He was getting that ready. That's right. John Granato wants to flip or gets flipped by Michael.
You're welcome.
Maybe he can get that done when he's back in town. Sorry, Michael.
What happened?
When he's back in town, maybe you'll flip him over. Either way, we're done. I'll talk to you on Monday.
I don't think we should end there.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.